In the gritty streets of an unnamed Oklahoma town, 16-year-old Brian Douglas and his best friend Mark navigate a precarious existence. They hustle pool at Charlie's Bar to scrape together enough money to survive. Their bond forged in childhood and cemented when Mark's parents killed each other in a drunken confrontation years ago. Mark found sanctuary with Brian's family, creating a brotherhood deeper than blood. Brian, tall and dark-featured, possesses an uncanny ability to manipulate his appearance, while Mark moves with a dangerous grace, his golden eyes and lion-like grin masking the trauma of his past. Their world is harsh but predictable until the arrival of 13-year-old M&M, a peace-loving, candy-munching anomaly in their hardened environment. When Brian begins questioning the morality of their lifestyle and falls for M&M's sister Kathy, the first cracks appear in what once seemed an unbreakable bond. Life turns serious when Brian and Mark hitchhike to visit Brian's mother in the hospital. Her expensive operation leaves them desperate, Brian hunting for legitimate jobs while Mark steals to contribute, creating subtle tension between them. At the hospital, they meet Mike Chambers, beaten nearly to death for defending a black girl. Despite his trauma, Mike harbors no hatred, while Mark remarks, "If anybody ever hurt me like that, I'd hate them for the rest of my life." In the cafeteria, Brian meets Kathy, M&M's sister, now transformed into a striking young woman. When Charlie lends Brian his car for a dance, the evening reshapes their relationships. Brian takes Kathy while Mark goes alone, altering their trio's dynamic. The night ends violently when Mark is struck with a beer bottle in a fight orchestrated by the vengeful Angela Shepherd. In the hospital, a vulnerable Mark confesses how scared he felt and that Brian is his only real family. During Mark's recovery, they reminisce about childhood adventures, but the nostalgia carries melancholy. "That was then, and this is now," Brian observes. Meanwhile, Charlie's insight about Brian's job hunt, "You need to figure out why you haven't found a job yet," forces self-examination that Mark isn't ready for. A routine night of pool hustling at Charlie's Bar becomes the catalyst that shatters their world. Using their choreographed con, they successfully hustle two menacing Texans, turning M&M's borrowed $5 into $25 through calculated manipulation. The scheme feels like just another adventure until the humiliated Texans ambush them outside. Charlie intervenes with his shotgun, but in the chaotic confrontation that follows, shots ring out and Charlie falls dead. This sudden violence transforms their world in an instant, creating a philosophical chasm between the Foster brothers. Brian retreats into introspection, processing his grief through conversations with Kathy about mortality and consequence. Mark remains emotionally disconnected, treating Charlie's death as just another event, his apparent lack of empathy disturbing Brian deeply. The police's decision to give Charlie's car to the boys adds another layer of complexity. When they sit in silence across from Charlie's now boarded establishment, their shared history suddenly feels insufficient to bridge their diverging perspectives. Brian sees the boards as a memorial to lost innocence. Mark views them merely as an inconvenience, a predictor of their future paths. With money tight and his mother bedridden, Brian intensifies his job search, taking Charlie's advice about improving his appearance and attitude. Mark surprisingly acknowledges not wanting to sponge forever, his first recognition of dependency. Meanwhile, Kathy worries about M&M smoking marijuana and falling in with a hippie crowd. M&M's unhappiness stems from conflicts with their father over his appearance and ideas, the generational divide that defined the late 1960s. One night, while cruising the Ribbon, a two-mile stretch where teens socialize, M&M suddenly announces he isn't going home and disappears among the long-haired teens at Jay's Drive-In. Despite searching frantically, they can't find him. When they inform her parents, her father dismissively calls it just a stage, while Kathy insists M&M planned his disappearance carefully. As M&M's absence stretches into weeks, Brian secures a supermarket job, while Mark contributes more money than ever, though Brian never questions its source, a deliberate blindness that will have consequences. Their nightly searches for Eminem become searches for the innocence he represents, for a simpler time before Charlie's death and adult responsibilities. The story's tensions erupt in a series of betrayals. Mark cuts off Angela Shepherd's beautiful hair while she's passed out drunk, revenge for his earlier injury, revealing his capacity for vengeance. He also admits to knowing Eminem's whereabouts while withholding this from Brian and Kathy during their desperate search. At the hippie house where Eminem stays, Brian discovers Mark's double life. He's familiar with the residents, dating Kat, and participating in drug culture. The final blow comes when Tim and Curly Shepherd brutally beat Brian for Angela's haircut, punishment for Mark's action. Though Mark tends to Brian's wounds afterward, crying with guilt, he becomes upset when Brian refuses to seek revenge, highlighting their diverging values. These betrayals culminate at Charlie's grave, where Brian finally acknowledges the debt he owes Charlie for saving his life, foreshadowing the irreversible decision he will soon make about Mark. The climax unfolds when Brian and Kathy find Eminem at the hippie house during a terrifying LSD trip, rambling about spiders in his stomach. At the hospital, doctors warn of possible permanent mental damage. This tragedy triggers Brian's final break with Mark after discovering pills under Mark's mattress. Realizing Mark is dealing drugs, possibly what harmed Eminem, Brian makes the devastating choice to call police. As officers arrest Mark, he pleads desperately, reminding Brian what prison means for someone with his record. But Brian remains silent. The aftermath leaves Brian emotionally numb, even toward Kathy. At the trial, Mark appears indifferent, laughing when Brian describes them as like brothers. When Brian visits the reformatory, he finds Mark transformed, thinner, harder, filled with hate. Mark delivers a final rejection. That was then, and this is now, turning Brian's earlier observation against him. What happens when the unbreakable breaks? This question haunts Brian after Mark's imprisonment. He did what society calls right by turning in a drug dealer, yet destroyed his most important relationship. Mark endangered kids like Eminem, but his punishment seems harsh given his background. Eminem sought freedom with hippies, but found only chemical escape that damaged him permanently. The novel offers no easy answers or moral certainty. Growing up means losing childhood's black and white certainties and facing adulthood's gray complexities. The brotherhood that defined Brian and Mark proves vulnerable to becoming different people with different values. The tragedy isn't about anyone being entirely right or wrong, but the impossibility of preserving relationships as we inevitably change. In this unflinching portrait of adolescent friendship, we recognize our own experiences of growing apart from those we once couldn't imagine living without, not through any dramatic event, but through the gradual, painful process of becoming ourselves.